I'm John Kroll. Tomorrow is International Day of Persons with Disabilities, as recognized by the United Nations. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about the opportunities before people with disabilities. We'll discuss ways that doors of possibility and windows of understanding can be opened. My guests will be Trellis Evans, Director of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Indy, Melissa Keys of Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services, and Jim Mueller, WFYI staffer and Saturday afternoon voice of WFYI Radio for 18 years. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits@wfyi.org. Facebook is nolimitswfyi. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news.
No Limits is made possible by Apparatus, managing IT infrastructure so companies don't have to. It's advanced IT made simple. Learn more at apparatus.net.
Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. Tomorrow is International Day of Persons with Disabilities, as recognized by the United Nations. So we're going to be talking really about the opportunities and challenges before people with disabilities today on the show. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests today are Trellis Evans, who is the Director of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Indy, Melissa Keys, who is the Legal Director of Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services, and our own Jim Mueller, who is a WFYI staffer and has been the Saturday afternoon voice of this station for 18 years. I'll say welcome to Trellis and Melissa. Jim, it feels a little weird saying welcome to you in your own home.
Yes, very strange to be on the other side of the board.
Yeah. Well, welcome, Melissa and Trellis. It's good to have you both here.
Thank you.
Well, I think I'd like to start we probably ought to define what we mean by disability here, because it's one of those terms that gets thrown around an awful lot. Melissa, I'll start with you. You can give us the legal definition, and maybe we can drill down from there.
Well, looking at what is the definition of a disability based on the Americans with Disabilities Act, it is anything that inhibits... it's a physical or mental impairment that inhibits a major life activity, and that's kind of the general starting point.
Okay, so it sounds like there are a couple of categories, then, the mental or physical. Mm-hmm. By mental, does that include, do they talk about emotional development or anything like that, or is that...
It's actually a very broad definition. Congress recently broadened the definition due to some restrictions that the Supreme Court and other courts were having on various disability cases. So it's really a rather broad definition, meaning that the standard for being defined as a disability or being regarded as having a disability is very broad.
Okay. And Trellis, in practical terms, what do we mean when we talk about people with disabilities?
In practical terms, I believe that we speak of people with disabilities, individuals that have life barriers to prevent them from doing some things that ordinarily would be a little easier for a person without that barrier.
Okay. And could you give me some examples?
Sure. An individual that is blind. Obviously, the opposite would be someone that could see, so that they would do things a little differently. They would use different senses. Their senses are a little heightened, a little more heightening. They can hear a little bit better. They can smell better. They use their touch to do things a little differently. Also, on the other side, there's individuals that are hearing impaired. Those individuals maybe use sign language to help communicate better, or pictorial demonstrations to help them understand things. But again, they use those different senses to help those other barriers that they had to overcome those barriers.
Okay, and Jim, this is not an abstract conversation for you.
Not at all.
Okay, and we probably, how do you define, I mean, a person with disability, knowing that you live this, basically?
Probably the same way that, that they have talked about it. I personally, you know, actually with myself had the discussion of, am I disabled or handicapped or, you know, what terminology would I use? And I kind of settled on disabled, but it would be anybody who has some sort of impairment. But then again, don't we all in some way? So it would be a very tough line at some point as to, especially as everybody gets older. As we get older, do you become disabled?
It sounds like, well, there's that.
There's that.
There is that possibility. And as you're right, I mean, at some level, the definition can be so all-inclusive that it embraces everyone, which it sounds like, Melissa, that's part of what Melissa was struggling with in answering the question, is to create some definition. In your case, I mean, it sounds like the idea that debate about whether you're handicapped, whether you're disabled, whether or you have disabilities, is an ongoing discussion. Could you talk about first the nature of your disability, and then really some of the, you know, what goes on in your mind when you're trying to work through those various definitions?
Yeah, I have a condition it caused. It was congenital from birth, so it caused tumors in my body that needed to be removed over a period of time. I think I've had, my family lost count around surgery number 45.
Oh, boy.
First one I had was when I was 6 months old, and it continued through there, and it's been various things. And when I was 10, lost my arm. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't lose it. I know where it is, but had an arm amputation, and I never really got into using a prosthesis. It just didn't fit right on me. And so I've gone all these years without one, and I've done quite well. But I just have a condition where it's just affected mostly my arms and the chest and the neck area. And I had very wonderful parents who mainstreamed me. I went to regular school. Everybody was taught to treat me just like anybody else. My brother would occasionally beat me up just like anyone else. And I think that was a key for me, was being mainstreamed and just trying to be as quote-unquote normal as possible, and just kind of went from there and never really had too much of a problem. I mean, obviously, I'm here. I'm mainstreamed in a regular job. I've worked at some job or another ever since I was 16, 17 years old, so I never really had any sort of problems along those lines. I've been very lucky in that way.
I do want us to get back to the general topic here, but I want to ask Jim, while we're talking, I mean, that, you know, making the joke obviously about saying first I lost my arm and then saying, well, actually I didn't lose it, but I know exactly where it is. That sort of dark humor, as it were. How important was that to sort of coping?
Oh, very important. Very important. People that do know me well know that I do have a dark sense of humor, and I will laugh at just about everything or anything. I don't know so much anymore if it's always a coping mechanism or just a habit now. You know, I'm a smart aleck. I've always been that way. But as a kid, it really did help a lot.
Well, you're the only one in radio who's ever been that way.
Absolutely.
No one who's a smart aleck ever goes to radio. So I'd like to open this up to a more general discussion, really, of the idea of the label, too, that comes with this. And I should remind our listeners that we are talking about the challenges and opportunities before people with disabilities in anticipation of tomorrow's International Day of Persons with Disabilities. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. There's been Jim made some reference to it when he said struggles with the whole idea, you know, was I handicapped? Am I a person with disabilities? There even has been a shift at one time, at least the journalistic shorthand, and often conversational one, would be to refer to the disabled as if that defined an entire human being. We struggle with that a little bit now. Trellis, could you talk a little bit about what the issues are involved there and how we identify?
Well, I think first one of the issues, I kind of like what Jim said about being mainstream, and we kind of focus on what people's abilities are opposed to what their disability is. And I think some of the general public tend to focus on the disability or the person being disabled, using that terminology. And I think that we really should try to more focus on what a person's abilities are, regardless of, you know, what they may have, you know, visually you can see or, mm-hmm. you know, you can't see it visually. So there's that aspect as well, that there's some people's disabilities, you can see them, and some people's disabilities, you can't see them. So there's just been a struggle, I'm sure, internally for those individuals as well as for myself and others that help those individuals or work with those individuals day to day. So I think really for me, the focus is what are the abilities, what can this person do and go from there.
Does that, Jim, I mean, you know, when you're identified as a person with a disability, does it... I'm trying to think of a politic way to ask the question. Does it bother you to be defined by something you can't do rather than all the things that you can do?
Yeah, not so much anymore, but I definitely went through a period, especially in my teens and 20s, where, yeah, we were going to have a fight if you know, I was regarded in that way. In fact, at one point during those times when I was 18, 19 years old and, you know, struggling, what am I going to do with my life? And, of course, I still lived at home at that point. And, you know, my dad was trying to aim me in some direction and said, well, you're not going to go out there and dig ditches. And that really ticked me off because I was like, oh, yeah? I almost went out in the yard and dug him a ditch. But I realized
which
now—
Which may have been, which as a father have, myself, might have been the purpose.
Absolutely. But I realized now what he was saying is you're not going to get a job digging ditches. Not that I couldn't dig a ditch, because I could. It would just take me longer. And that's a lot of the thing, is that things take me longer, but I can do anything. But he was trying to tell me, you're not going to get a job, which is true. And I would, you know, if I had a disabled child now, I would say that to them. You're not going to get a job digging ditches. But that's very true. Yeah. So at some point, and at some point I really sort of got over it. I kind of realized that how you appear to the public in general, you know, they see you as a disabled person or whatnot. It's up to me then to show them that I'm not as disabled as they thought.
We have gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Gary, and if you'd like to reach out to us on Facebook, you can do so at No Limits WFYI. And Gary's question is, has disability been relegated to employability? That sounds like a legal question, so we'll throw it your way, Melissa.
Well, I think employment, like with anything else, is a goal that everybody has regardless of their abilities. And I think recently there's just been a big push on making sure that everybody's aware that people with disabilities are able to contribute, and they want just what everybody else wants, which is, you know, competitive employment, meaningful work. And so I think the way that disability has been wrapped up with employability, that's kind of one of the facets of how things have been progressing. It used to be that theories of disability where people with disabilities were to be sheltered and protected and kept in institutions for their own good. And there's just been a shift towards more integration in the community, which has been, you know, extremely beneficial, not only in raising awareness about people with disabilities, but in opening up opportunities for people with disabilities. And so I think as that shift has gone away from institutionalization towards community integration, obviously the next logical progression is to focus on employment, because, you know, what do you do during the day?
Well, and as Jim was saying, and we probably ought to clarify, in terms of employment law, there are some areas in which you cannot be discriminated against because of a disability.
Correct.
Correct. Could you give us sort of a broad overview of what those areas, I mean, Jim presumably, as he says, wouldn't necessarily work as effectively as a ditch digger, as somebody else, as somebody else might. But, well, that's a larger question. We probably ought to save that for after the break. We are talking about the challenges and opportunities for people with disabilities. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Trellis Evans of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Indy, Melissa Keys of Indy Anna Protection and Advocacy Services, and our own Jim Mueller here at WFYI. I'm John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the challenges and opportunities people with disabilities face. It's in honor of tomorrow being International Day of Persons with Disabilities. My guests are Trellis Evans, who's the director of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Indy, Melissa Keys, who's the legal director with Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services, and our own WFYI legend, Jim Mueller. Just before we went to the break, Melissa, I was throwing you a question about really where the law is in regard to employment of persons with disabilities. Could you give us an overview?
Sure. Title I of the Americans with Disabilities Act is what is the focus for employment. And basically that prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability in any realm of the employment process, whether it's hiring, firing, promotions, things like that. And it also requires employers to provide reasonable accommodations or reasonable modifications to policies and procedures. So, for example, for somebody who has a vision impairment, providing adaptive equipment that helps magnify the computer screen, for example. That title of the ADA generally applies to employers with 15 or more employees, and complaints about employers based on the basis of disability discrimination are handled through the EEOC. You have to go through the EEOC process first. That's the whole process. There's also, other types of rules. There's state corollary, state civil rights laws that may be more applicable to employers under 15 employees. There's also, minimum wage requirements, 14C waivers, which allow not-for-profits to pay less than the minimum wage for people with disabilities. So there's all kinds of laws that intersect with people with disabilities, but the overarching theme is that you can't discriminate on the basis of disability in employment.
Are there any legal circumstances in which a company can make an employment decision based on someone's disability?
Well,
I know I'm pushing it, but I'm trying to pick up on the corner, and I want Jim to talk a little bit about
sure.
his employment experience as well. But the example of Jim's father is saying, mm-hmm. "Well, you're not going to dig ditches," and Jim says, "Well, yes, I can dig a ditch, but I would do it more slowly," which to a prospective employer is going to sound like, "Okay, he's not going to do it as efficiently. There's not, it's going to cost me more time and money."
Well, there is. If it changes the fundamental structure or purpose of the job, then I wouldn't, it's kind of a tricky legal question. But if it fundamentally alters the purpose of the job or what the job is supposed to do, such that the person with a disability wouldn't, even with accommodations or modifications, wouldn't be able to perform the job, then, that's kind of a something that the employer would be able to consider.
And Jim, in terms of employment, your career spans longer than the ADA. And so you well, have
I'm kind of wondering now how many job offers for ditch digging I'm going to get. But actually, I had a situation many years ago. I thought the way to fame and fortune would be through a government job. Mm. And I took the Postal Service exam and scored pretty highly, like 97, 98th percentile, and finally got an offer at one point to come down and interview. And I went downtown. I got there early. I was very excited. Walked in, was filling out the information on the clipboard, and noticed that the two women that were behind the desk were whispering to each other and all this. And finally, they both came around the corner. And they said, well, we really need to tell you, probably should go ahead and leave. And I said, well, why is that? And they said, well, this job that you're applying for, there's a machine you have to run, and it takes two hands to run it. And I said, well, you know, I'm pretty adaptable. Let me have a chance to try. And they said, no, you probably should just go ahead. And, of course, there was no one else there because I was so early. So I'm assuming they wanted to get me out of there before, you know, too many other people came in. They said, no, you really should leave because it really does take two hands. And I said, let me have the chance to try it, and if I fail, I fail. But let me at least give it a try. And they took the clipboard and said, no, you really should go ahead and go now. And, of course, that was one of the more depressing points that I've actually ever had. And so I don't know now, of course, if that would have been something. That was back in the early 1990s, so I don't know what could have been done. But I didn't pursue anything with that. But that is something that I did run into. But that's really the only time that I actually know that it was because of a disability. You know, you never know when you go in for an interview whether somebody's what's in their head, obviously, but this was very forward.
Trellis, I would assume that, you know, in addition to the many other things that Goodwill does, there is obviously a very strong career counseling component.
That's correct.
I would think that's kind of a tricky proposition, you know, directing people down the right path, trying to get them to focus on the things that might actually that they might be well suited for, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, in some ways, as Jim says, it sounds like a perfectly natural development to respond to somebody else telling you something you can't do,
mm-hmm.
Instead of sort of focusing on, okay, well, I could do this instead.
Right. We do have some gems in the world mm-hmm. that do come to us, and they do tell us things that they would like to do. And some of part of our job is to actually allow them to do those things, give them opportunity to show them, just as Jim did, to see what works for them and what doesn't. Again, Melissa is saying we work with what's the best way to teach them to ask for accommodations, what accommodations can be made. And on the other side of things, during that trial experience and that training experience, we do give them direction on what might be a better fit for them. So we do give them opportunity to, just like ourselves, do our own, lead down our own path. Sometimes that's the wrong path, and sometimes it's not. But we do allow them to be adults and make up their own minds, but we give them guidance and show them what we feel like may be a good fit for them.
We're talking about the challenges and opportunities before people with disabilities. If you would like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. We've gotten an email from a listener named Kathleen who says, in honor of Disabilities Day on Thursday, December 4th at 5:30, Book Mamas is hosting the authors of Monday Coffee and Other Stories of Mothering Special Needs Children. This is a collection of short stories and essays written by special parents who worked with the Writers' Center on this publication. Copies of the book will be for sale, and the authors will be glad to autograph the books. Book Mamas is located at 9 South Johnson Avenue. That's one half block south of Washington Street and one half block east of Ritter Avenue. Charles, I'm going to stay with you for a second because this email sort of raises the other subject. I mean, how much of the challenge here is an educational one? I mean, getting people to understand, the nature of what living with a disability is, and, you know, both, you know, what doors it closes and what doors it opens.
I think it's a really big challenge for the younger individuals that come to us because they are, a lot of times we get them fresh out of high school, and we do have a harder time to try to get them to explore what they feel like their strengths are. And then we have to do the education with the family as well. Just as that notice said about mothers working with mothers working with children with disabilities. We do have a lot of times that the parents come in with us or advocates come in and talk with us as well, because we do have to educate them as well as the employees or the individuals looking for jobs to let them know what are their strengths and what are their weaknesses and how we all can work together to get them through to the next step that they would like to go to.
On the related subject, we've gotten a question via Twitter from Shannon, and if you would like to reach out to us via Twitter, you can do so at WFYI. Says, sometimes disability comes suddenly. Where does the person or family start learning about what that means here in Indiana? I'll throw that one to Melissa first, but I think Trellis is going to want a piece of it too.
There's a lot of different resources that are available in Indiana. First and foremost is Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services. We do have information available on our website. Aside from the state, and again, it depends on the type of disability and the type of needs that the person thinks that they might mean that they might need. I mean, there's vocation rehabilitation services. There's Social Security assistance. There's Medicaid. There's all kinds of different types of programs. There's programs through the school. So it really just depends on what the needs of the person are. That would help dictate where that person would go. And unfortunately, there's just so much information out there that there's not a one omnibus source for all things disability. The internet, pluses or minuses, might be a good place to start, but really, I would encourage anybody who's dealing with disability to reach out to IPASS, and we would be happy to, if we can't help you, point you in the direction of somebody who can.
Trellis.
I actually would second what Melissa said. We would refer them to IPASS. We work closely with vocational rehabilitation. It really does depend on the needs of the individual. So when someone calls my office, the first thing I ask are those questions. Tell me a little bit about the individual, because we do need to know what are the needs so that we can give them referrals or help them through whatever challenges they may face.
And Jim, again, this is not an abstract question for you. I mean, in terms of dealing with a disability, first, let's say you're the person in that situation. What would you think is the first step to sort of figuring your life out? And then what counsel would you give to family members?
I think as far as for themselves, you just have to really first take as kind of a look at yourself and be grateful for whatever you have left or whatever it is that you can do. Then I always just, I was always just, like you say, I was raised to go out and just try to do everything. Obviously everyone's going to have some sort of limitation in that situation, but find out what you can do. Try to do whatever you can, the best you can, and just give it a shot. Go out and dig a ditch if you need to. And as far as the family, like I say, I had great parents that enabled me at every way that they could. Sometimes got mad at me because I was trying to do things on my own, and sometimes you just have to do that. But there's a realization that you're going to have limits. I think that's the big thing that I've just gone with, is that sometimes you just can't do something, and you need to figure out a better way to do it, and you just have to be able to accept that. I don't know, myself, since I've been with this for so long, mm-hmm. it's hard to say for somebody who just has had something happen. It's easy enough for me to say, hey, be thankful for what you've still got, but so it's really hard for somebody, I'm sure that it feels like now that they have lost something.
Yeah, it's become, when it's a before and after
story. For me,
story.
This is a life story, and that's a big difference.
Well, and you've mentioned a couple of times that your parents enabled you,
right,
in the best sense of the word,
right?
Not
sure.
In destructive behavior, but in all of that. Can you give us an example of what they did that you know was supportive, was enabling, did create possibilities?
Yeah,
for
they
you.
Just actually they never held me back. I never with my family felt like I was disabled. Hmm. You know, I have an older brother. I felt like I was just as equal as he was in everything. There might be a situation where my mother, of course, who was very overprotective, might say, oh, I don't know if you want to try that. I don't know. Maybe you shouldn't do that or whatever. And, of course, I would go ahead and do it, and then everything would be fine. But I was mainstreamed in school. I never had any sort of real adaptive equipment when I was younger, which – back then, there wasn't as much. We're talking about the 1960s and 70s here. So, you know, there just wasn't as much available. And it was just a situation where they raised me as normally, if you want to use that term, as possible. Friends that I hung out with, they all treated me the same as they would anybody else. So it was never anything where I was sheltered. One thing I will say for myself was when I was 12 years old, I was sent, or I was able to go to Camp Riley. Mm-hmm. And that, I count that as one very significant moment in my life because I, having been raised normally, let's say, now I was with a group of kids who weren't all normal. And it really brought to me that, hey, I am lucky for what I can do. Mm-hmm. You see everybody's in a different situation. But that taught me, you know, I got to go camping and canoeing and, you know, all these things. I was treated as a normal kid within that subset, you might say. But that was one moment that really changed my life. And I ended up actually going there for years, and then I worked there for a number of years. And that was something that really brought me out of my shell, John, let me tell you, and led me to radio.
And that's been good for all parties included.
Right. I hope so.
We are talking about the challenges and opportunities confronting persons with disabilities. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Beverly, welcome to the program.
Yes. Hi, John. I have a daughter that has schizophrenia, and I know you haven't touched yet on the mental part of this, so I might, for the sake of definition there, call it impaired thinking, because I have seen over a period of time my daughter have longer flashes of healthy thinking, but there is that impaired thinking still there. And in 2010, she got a court order to, I think, always take the same medication, and I wanted to know the legal part of that, whether the same mental health services provider needed to always serve that court order or if she had a choice of another doctor.
Thanks very much for the call and the question. We'll try to get an answer for you. It's lucky we have a lawyer in the room. Thanks very much for the call, Beverly.
Thank you.
Well, Melissa, I think that's your cue.
Well, and again, without knowing the details of, you know, mm-hmm. this particular circumstances, one of the things that there's been a push towards more ability for people to have more say about the types of treatment that they have and the providers that they see and things like that. So there has been a push towards more choice as opposed to just more, you know, here, take this, and this is your treatment, and this is your provider, and this is where you're going to live. What I would encourage that mother to do is to, if she does have a concern about her daughter's treatment plan, to feel free to reach out to IPASS.
Go ahead and give the contact.
And our phone number is 1-800-622-4845.
Go ahead and give that again.
It's 1-800-622-4845. And, you know, she can give us kind of a bit more detail, and we can see if we'd be able to help her.
We are talking about the challenges and opportunities in front of people with disabilities. My guests are Trellis Evans, who is with Goodwill Indy, Melissa Keys of Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services, and our own Jim Mueller. I am John Kroll. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. In anticipation of tomorrow being International Day of Persons with Disabilities, as recognized by the United Nations, we are talking about the opportunities and challenges before folks with disabilities. My guests are Trellis Evans, who's the Director of Employee Development and Training for Goodwill Indy, Melissa Keys, who's the Legal Director with Indiana Protection and Advocacy Services, and our own Jim Mueller, who's been the voice of WFYI Radio on Saturday afternoons for 18 years. Got an email question from a listener named Mary who says, I have a 32-year-old son who suffers from Asperger's. Please suggest an organization sensitive to hiring such a person. Trellis, I think that one will go to you.
Well, I would actually recommend Goodwill. We work with a variety of individuals with different, you know, disabilities. We are doing some hiring right now, and she can go to goodwillindy.org. All our jobs are online. And actually, she also can give us a call to give us a little bit more detail about the individual, and we can give her a little bit more guidance on what job might be a good fit for them. And that number is 317-524-4343.
I ought to follow up also on Beverly's question, and because most of the discussion has focused on persons with physical disabilities so far, and as you mentioned, the ADA applies to folks with mental disabilities as well. What are the legal protections in regard to them and their disabilities?
Well, they're the same for physical disabilities. It's you know, just because you can't necessarily see the disability doesn't mean that, you know, they have any less protections or anything like that. So the protections for mental illness are the same as those for physical disabilities.
Okay. And are the standards, though, you know, obviously there's, for example, in the area of is mental illness considered a disability? Because there is a focus, obviously, on workplaces dealing with mental illness these days. Could you walk me through sort of that landscape for a moment?
Well, as far as mental illness, there's, you know, you always go back to what is the limitation that is being impaired. So, for example, like the caller said, you know, somebody with schizophrenia might have an impairment in thinking, or, you know, there might be an impairment in memory or cognition or things along that nature. Or you look at something, you know, somebody with a traumatic brain injury who might have problems with following processes. So it really just boils down to the individual, what the individual needs. And you know, you always want to go back to that, to supporting the individual and making sure that they have the the necessary supports in order to participate as fully functioning as they can.
Gotten a Facebook message from a listener named Mike, and if you'd like to reach out to us on Facebook, you can do so at No Limits WFYI. Mike says, as the father of an adult profoundly deaf son, one of my fears is that, at least initially, his disability, and he puts disability in quotes, is not recognizable. This has resulted in awkward to potentially dangerous situations. A law enforcement officer in a common area of an airport started to pull his gun on my son, who was seated at the time watching our luggage while the rest of us went to the restroom, because he did not respond to his commands. He notes that even though we were on the radio, that we should include the hearing impaired and deaf as being differently abled. And I guess, Trellis, goes back to a question I asked earlier. It's not just about educating people themselves, who, you know, family members and others, but the general public mm-hmm. about how to deal with the question of disability or being differently abled, as Mike says. What efforts should we make there?
I know that we, in particular, do outreach within the community, mm-hmm. And do provide trainings. But as we go, as you'll say, door to door, talking with different businesses, at that time we are educating them on the different varieties of individuals' barriers and disabilities, so that in that case they can be aware of what individuals have and what they're coming for with. Employers, and particularly as we're out talking with different employer community in our community, we do educate them by sharing with them different disabilities. We do trainings with them. We also can come in and help them make accommodations if they need to, depending upon what the individual needs and what the employer or the job is, I should say. So I think that's a very key part, is educating from maybe from A to Z, if you'll say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How much of it is teaching by example? Goodwill presumably employs people who have disabilities. Mm-hmm. Do you know what percentage of your employees have disabilities?
We're around 35%.
35%? Mm-hmm. And do we have, Melissa, is there, are there numbers in terms of you know, American society, how many people can be defined as having a disability?
There's a general consensus that it's about between 11 and 12%.
Okay, so you're employing at about three times then the national mm-hmm. national rate. And what when people go to shop at Goodwill and they see, obviously, people with disabilities mm-hmm. functioning, what is their reaction?
Most often they're more overwhelmed with joy. They want to do more. They want to help them out. We get more of a reaction of wanting to do for them and a lot of our individuals. What we're training and teaching them and supporting them is doing for themselves. And so we do get a lot of the customers that come in and you know, that's our nature. You know, we want to help and do things for them. But a lot of the times our individual disabilities do tell us, you know, that they're like me or you, and they want to do everything on their own, or at least try to.
We are talking about the challenges and opportunities confronting people with disabilities here on No Limits. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so by calling us at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. Teresa, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Certainly. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm enjoying your program very much, and I appreciate you having it on. I am a little bit disappointed, however, to hear particularly the representative from IPASS not reference the statewide network of Centers for Independent Living. We not only receive federal funding to in fact be that central source that she indicated wasn't out there, but in addition to that, we are actually run by, our policies are set by, and our services are provided by mostly people with disabilities ourselves. And that's a resource across the state that I think it's pretty important to get out there today.
Well, thanks very much for the call, Melissa.
We are very much aware of the Centers for Independent Living, and IPASS actually does have representation on several of those boards. And you're right, it is a good resource. I think right now, not to go into too much detail, but there's some transition going on through that organization. So, but yes, that is definitely a great resource.
So there are, it sounds like in the world of people with disabilities, there are political dynamics at work just as there are everywhere else in the world then, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've also gotten a Facebook question from a listener named Gary who says, this is for Trella, says, are physical limitations not considered due to a youthful age? Correct me if I am wrong. However, age discrimination begins at 40, so I guess is age ever considered a disability? If I'm misinterpreting your question, Gary, I hope you'll correct me. Trellis.
I would say no. Not from our point of view, it's not a disability.
Well, and I would think that the areas of law dealing with age discrimination and also disability law are two different areas, right?
Correct.
Melissa. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, probably there isn't necessarily a correlation. You know, Jim, I want to ask the question about really how people respond. You know, most people, because of the nature of the work you do, you know, experience you only as a voice.
Right.
You know, I mean, right now they're conjuring up all sorts of pictures of what all of us look like. And in that case, when they encounter you, because there are public components to this job, mm-hmm. What is the takeaway for them, do you think, in that? I mean, are they, you know, because obviously the references to your disability or your being differently abled aren't really a part of your job here at all.
Right. My secret is now out.
Okay.
So now every Saturday people will be thinking, oh, there's that one-armed guy on the radio again. But, yeah.
Who secretly wants to dig ditches.
That's right. Who wants a job digging ditches. You know, I do occasionally, in just any social situation, people go, oh, then what do you do for a living? And, you know, you're like, oh, I'm on the radio. And they're like, really? And they're just very, they seem very impressed that I'm, and I'm like, really, all you do is talk, let me tell you, you know, and I can obviously do that. Occasionally I run into somebody that they're like, where they've heard me, and now they're meeting me for the first time, and I get kind of that look up and down like, oh, really? Oh, I, you know, kind of, and I can just kind of see their, and maybe it's just me projecting onto them, but I'm imagining them going, I never pictured him with one arm, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, it's always been a very positive experience. You know, I think a lot of people just feel that this is a, when I do meet them, that they aren't, so, well, it's great that a person could be into radio, you know, like that. So it's always been very positive.
We've gotten an email from a listener named Paige. And if you'd like to reach out to us by email, you can do so by sending it to nolimits@wfyi.org. She says, I have two sons that have Stargardt disease, which causes central blindness. Despite their poor vision, they have been very successful in school. Both attended Purdue with degrees in the sciences. One son just graduated with a degree in physics and is having a difficult time finding a job. The unemployment rate among blind and visually impaired is a staggering 70%. I encourage employers to take a chance and look past a disability. Now, we've mentioned the fact, Melissa, that employers aren't supposed to be able to make a judgment about employability based on a person's disability. What is the enforcement procedure there, though? And I would think, you know, in terms of that, it would be relatively difficult to prove that someone's being discriminated against because of a disability.
Right. It is, you know, somewhat difficult to prove. The mechanism for making an allegation of discrimination in the workplace is to go to the Equal Employment Opportunities Council, the EEOC, through the federal government. That is kind of the first step. And what you can do is you can file a complaint, and then EEOC will conduct an investigation, and either they'll, you know, kind of help work your case through the system, or they'll issue you a right to sue letter, and you can, you know, take your case to federal court if that's what you want. The other thing that I would encourage the person who emailed to do is to get in touch with their local vocational rehabilitation or a center similar to Goodwill Industries, because VR especially has a lot of resources to be able to help people find jobs and to, you know, help people get connected to different types of jobs and help them find different accommodations and adaptive equipment that might help them.
Trellis, how much of Goodwill's challenge is dealing with just that issue, that even though the law is supposed to prevent people, employers, from discriminating against people with disabilities, it obviously still exists.
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about combating that sort of attitude?
That's very interesting, because that is a big challenge for us. We do, of course, everyone knows our retail stores, but we employ at 70 to 75% on our commercial services size of janitorial cleaning contracts of individuals with disabilities. And it's very challenging when we have to kind of recruit out, saying we want to help those that have disabilities. And so we get the counteract there.
We are talking about the challenges and opportunities confronting people with disabilities. Stephen, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello. What's on your mind?
Well, I know that where I work, we have opportunities for people, and we're very open-minded to hiring people of any, I'm not sure how to say it, disabilities, but we need people.
Well, and what I would suggest then, Stephen, is if you wouldn't mind sending us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org.
I don't do email. I don't
okay.
do computer work.
Well, I'll tell you what. Then call back and give us a number where we can make the contact, and we will put you in touch with Trellis. Thank you very much for the call and the question, Stephen. We're getting a little tight on time. Well, real quickly, in terms of sort of wrapping up, if there is an area in which we could improve circumstances for people who are dealing with disabilities, where would that be? Jim, I'm going to start with you. Give you about 20 seconds.
I would just say just accepting people. Just plain forward, just accept them. And when you see them, don't think that they have a limitation. Just assume that they can do whatever. If they need special equipment, if they need any sort of special adaptive stuff, they probably will let you know. They can work with you, but it's accept everybody.
Trellis, I'm going to give you about 15 seconds.
I would say awareness and education. Don't be afraid of what you don't know, and get educated on the things that you may be a little bit leery on, and find out more information before you make a judgment call.
Okay. Melissa, you get the last word.
Well, I think with integration and making sure that everybody in the community is just open and aware of people with disabilities and including them in activities and things like that.
Well, I would like to thank you all. This has been an enlightening conversation. I'd like to thank Trellis Evans, Melissa Keys, and our own Jim Mueller for this conversation. I'd like to thank our listeners and invite you to join us on Thursday when we're going to talk about the volatile subject of immigration here on No Limits. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.